Right, continuing with today's message is Pastor Stan. Message titled Secrets Revealed, Luke 10, verses 10 through 24. I hope he reviews a little bit because I gotta admit, I kind of forgot some.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Jen. Continuing with today's message, it's actually a continuation from April 15th. So I had a lot to say on April 15th, and I didn't get to say all the things I wanted to say about my message. So one of the secrets about that was that it was not revealed. So the other secret is, and it was secret to me even at the time, that this is a two-part message. So this is the second part. I did go over the first part, and it's always fun, isn't it, to have a secret revealed? And I hope that that is kind of like the spirit with which we approach this. There, a lot of things in life can become old and kind of stale and kind of mundane. I was listening to a lot of the people in the Sunday school that were talking about the Easter egg hunt. And you know how fun that is when you're looking for an Easter egg and finally you find one. And sometimes you're looking for an Easter egg and you find it and it's really in a conspicuous place. And there it was all this time. And of course, what you want to do is open it up and see what's inside. And maybe you get to color it or whatever you do. Maybe you colored it already. But something about a secret revealed is something that really stirs our hearts. There are also kind of dangerous kinds of secrets revealed. Sometimes that might be in the form of gossip. That's not the good kind of secrets. And you just want to get that juicy morsel. The Proverbs, it says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. But the word of God also says in Deuteronomy 31:31 that the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children, that we may obey the Lord and follow him and become the fruitful people God wants us to be. So as we're looking at the kingdom and what are the secrets of the kingdom, we find that there are a number of things that Jesus revealed as he went along that we kind of know already because we have seen a lot of these things and we're 2,000 years removed, maybe 3,000 years removed from some of these writings. So I hope today that it would not be old, that it would not be mundane in your life. But as we look at these secrets that are being revealed, that we look at it with a certain freshness as we walk with Jesus and his disciples in the life and the culture and the religious context of that day. So let's, if you have your Bible, open up to Luke chapter 10. And we'll resume in our message today, Luke chapter 10. And we'll be looking at verses 24, from 10 to 24. And just looking at a few select verses there. Okay, so let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much that you are always on the go. You're always on the move. Lord, your word itself says, we do not know what tomorrow will bring. And so we walk in faith, trusting in you. And our desire is to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or do that. We'll go to this business, this town and do business. If it's your will, Lord. So, Father, whatever the uncertainties are of the future, I pray that you would allow us to enter into that place with confidence because we are walking in faith as you've called us to do. So now, Lord, settle our hearts. I pray that you would sensitize our spirits to your Holy Spirit to speak to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Last time, first bullet point of the secret reveal, and it's if you look in your notes page, it's the same notes page we had two, three weeks ago, and so the first answer to that was the kingdom of God is near to everyone. That's kind of a new thing. In the Old Testament, the idea was God was close to them if you had good fortune or something like that. Or the enemy's God was close to you if you had bad fortune and their enemy was just kind of laying into you and you had all of these things. But really, Jesus is saying, even if a town rejects you after he sent out the people to the various towns, even if a town rejects your message, tell them as you're leaving, don't forget this. Now, no matter what you believe or think, folks in this town, the kingdom of God is near. Realize that the kingdom of God is near. Whether you want it to be near or not, the kingdom of God is near. You'll find that in Luke chapter 10. Verse 11. And so because of that, Jesus is saying, I'm going to give people every opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ, to come to know the kingdom of God. I'm going to give them every opportunity possible. And so that's our desire, is to be on the go. We want to be sowing seeds. We want to give people opportunities for coming to Christ. It's not our decision for them to come to Christ or not, but it is our duty to proclaim the kingdom. So that's the first one. The kingdom of God is near to everyone, even those who reject Jesus. The second point is that Jesus speaks through the testimony of his disciples. If you look in your notes page, number 2, Jesus speaks through the testimony of his disciples. I want to read Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Let's read that together. That's on the PowerPoint here, Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Why don't we go ahead and read that together? Ready? Go. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So Jesus here is pointing out that there is a congruence between the words and the message of the disciples and the words of the message of Jesus and the words and message of the Heavenly Father. Jesus is sent by the Father. So he is saying here that Jesus is setting up a time that his disciples will eventually be the representatives of the kingdom. Jesus setting up that time. Jesus knows he's going to be going to the cross. He's going to be departing. And he's setting up a time when he wants to give the confidence that the word of God is going to be at the disposal, in the stewardship of his disciples. The word of God is going to be in the hands of his people. And he's saying, whatever they do to you or listen to you or not listen to you, it's how they listen to me or didn't listen to me. It's how they listen to God, how they didn't listen to God, but represent the kingdom of God. This makes us the representatives of the kingdom of God. So St. Francis of Assisi said, at least this quote is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. He said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. What he's saying is that in our actions and our behaviors, our conduct, should always model or represent Jesus Christ. Should always be in such a way that it doesn't bring insult to the kingdom, but rather attracts people to the kingdom. So people look at our behavior, our care for our neighbor, our helping them out with food, or whether it's a Christian organization that's taking the word of God to the remotest parts of the world. Our actions and our behaviors should always be representing the kingdom of God. And he says, when necessary, use words. Well, guess what? Using words is necessary. Why is that so? We, of course, want to soften people's hearts, make them know that God is love. But they will never understand that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that his death is a substitutionary payment for our sins. They would never know how to pray to our God, necessarily, without somebody telling them, and normally that is through words. That's why a testimony is so crucial. Our words communicate God's word. Now, you might be thinking, You know, I've shared the gospel before. I've talked to people about God, and I just don't get the kind of reaction that Jesus got. And maybe you're thinking that what I need is more of Jesus. What I need maybe is to get out of the way and just let Jesus take over. Or maybe God can't use me. He wants to use that person who has that gift of evangelism. Really? We have this romanticized view of Jesus, that when he went out, people just kind of flocked around him and they all fell at his feet. But really, when you stop and you back up and you say, is that what really happened? How many people, I want to ask this question, how many people rejected Jesus' message? A lot, right? How many people accepted Jesus' message the first time, just at the get-go, bam? Not too many. It was a repetition of things. A lot of them came for the miracles and the food and things like that. But the message was actually very difficult to come by. And so Jesus says in another place, if they rejected me, they're going to reject you. So don't take it as a sign that you're not given the call or the duty or responsibility just because people don't fall at your feet and follow Jesus. That's just not how it works. The way it works is people are going to follow you as much as they want to follow Jesus. So you really don't need more of Jesus when you testify of him. Jesus is sufficiently present in your testimony. He gives you authority as you speak the words. He gives you an authority that connects with the hearts of people. And there's something in your word that's going to settle into the heart of an individual that allow it to just kind of sit there like a seed until it's ready to be germinated. And in time, as people have deposited seeds in the hearts of people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, those seeds will spring up, and many of those seeds will rise up to eternal life in them. And as you obey, you will overcome Satan. Jesus says here, as the disciples came back and kind of reported back to him, he said, Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What that means is that Satan has had this exalted position. And he says, I saw him fall like lightning. Like, don't get confused with the lightning part, okay? Simply means Satan no longer has the kind of authority that he used to have. And it's because you disciples have gone out and have shared the word. It's because you have proclaimed the kingdom of God. That's why Satan was overcome. Now, Satan is not defeated. Satan will keep and stay at it. He's going to keep warring against us. But he can be overcome through the testimony of our word. Jesus does say this. He says, yet do not rejoice that the spirits obey you. Let me read this. We have to have our joy rightly placed. So the 72 came back, disciples came back and reported to Jesus all that was happening. He says, they said, the spirits even submit to us in your name. And they're kind of feeling really good and kind of powerful and prideful and everything. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I've given you authority to trample snakes, scorpions, overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is an interesting verse. That would seem like, wow, that's really something I want to rejoice over. The spirits submit to us. Now we can just kind of march on, and we can just take over, and everybody's just going to fall into a place of faith with Jesus Christ because the evil spirits are going to get out of the way. Jesus says, Not so. Watch out. William MacDonald observes that this is the only time Jesus says, do not rejoice over something. I don't know about you, but if I were to pray for somebody who was struggling with some kind of demonic activity, and I were to lay hands on them and the spirit were to depart, I would want to rejoice over that. Yes! Good stuff! And that would be our temptation, wouldn't it? Yeah, and that would be, it is good news. And in fact, it said that the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. What they were joyful over was that the demons submitted to them in Jesus' name. But look at what Jesus rejoiced in. Verse 21, it's a contrast here. Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was your good pleasure. I hope you have a Bible or something out that you're following with me. There's a contrast in this joy in verse 17. The disciples rejoiced. Demons are submitting. We rejoice. Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. At this moment, he's saying, there is a new order here that's taking place. The power of the kingdom of God is not going to go through the religious leaders. The religious leaders at that time were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were like the local congregation scattered throughout the region. In every city, there were little local congregations. The Sadducees ministered at the temple. And those are the two primary places that the religious leaders had this authority. But Jesus is saying, I rejoice that your work, God, is bypassing the religious organization and going straight into the people. A secret revealed. Back then, everyone thought all the authority, all of God's word, always came through the religious leader, the Pharisee or the Sadducee. Now Jesus is ushering a new time where he's saying, you will all be able to testify of me, not just certain key people. You will all be able to testify of me because I'm going to give you authority. Secret revealed. It's people like you and me that are given the authority to testify of the kingdom. So that's the second point, that Jesus speaks through the testimony of his disciples. Jesus speaks through the testimony of his disciples. Number three, the way to see the Father is to see Jesus. I spoke of this very briefly on the previous time I went over this. Luke chapter 10, verse 22. Luke chapter 10, verse 22. So Jesus, after all of this and meeting with his disciples, tells them, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So we see all of these things are now embodied in Jesus Christ. The Father, knowledge of the Father is embodied in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says the knowledge of the Son now, in order to get to the Father, is embodied in those Jesus gives authority to. I find this very interesting. He's still on his way to Jerusalem at this point in time in the timeline. He is on his way to Jerusalem. At some point, he's going to be going to the cross. And he's going to meet with his disciples in the upper room, what we call the upper room. And in the upper room, he's going to have a very private and very quiet conversation with his disciples. And it's there that Philip asks him, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So here's the mystery. Everyone, the most sought after mystery of all time for all people has been, how do we reach God? Everywhere you go in the world, people ask the question, how do we reach God? The way to the Father is Jesus. Now, like I said, that's not much of a mystery to us today, is it? Because that's kind of like the primary declaration that we have today. But I hope that it doesn't become old, because all that we're aiming for here in understanding God is to understand Jesus Christ. So I'd like to ask if there's a, I'd like to do a little magic trick if I can. Now, I have a good friend. His name is Michael Valoria. I used to work with him many, many years ago, and he is a really excellent magician. And we would sit and have lunch, and he would get out a coin, and you check it out and see, this is a real coin, not fake, not, you know, doesn't vanish in front of you or anything like that. And he would do all these things right in front of our eyes as we were sitting there. So I'd like to do a little magic trick for you. So I'd like to ask, does somebody have a coin that I can borrow? Somebody have a coin? Somebody reach into your purse right now and just get a coin. Whoever's first, okay? And I want a volunteer. I need an assistant to help me with this one. Okay. Lanlin, come on. Come on up. Come on up, Lanlin. Good volunteer. Let's welcome Lanlin. Okay, all right. Okay, whose coin is this? It's Tina's, okay. Okay, so this is a coin, right? Can you inspect that? Is it a real coin? Okay. Okay, I want you to write your initial on it. Okay, just to make sure I didn't switch it on you or something. Okay, all right. Did you just deface government property? Okay, you can say I put you up to it. Okay, it says that LT. What does T stand for? Okay, sounds good. Okay, so here's a coin. And this is the I need an assistant because I don't have enough strength to do this, okay? So what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you to help me hit the back of my head. But it's going to be, don't hit too hard, okay? So. That's why I didn't call on you. You know how to do that, upside the head. Okay, so I'm going to get this coin. I'm going to stick it in the back of my head. And I always need to get a little help here, so why don't you push in the back of my hand? Push in the back of my hand. Okay, it didn't work. Okay, go harder. Okay, a little harder. Oh, there it is. And just to make sure it's the same coin, is that the same coin? Yes. Okay. See, I know how to do this. I watch TV, so I can see. I know how to do this. Let's give Lannan a hand. Okay, can I return this to Tim? Oh, a secret revealed. It did not actually go through my head and out of my mouth. Yeah. She didn't trust me. Okay. So the point of this is not that the things that Jesus does is a magic trick or anything. Okay? Now, but it's really that there are certain secrets and that things do. And my friend Michael always says, we do not actually do magic. We just do illusions. And so there's this little thing in the field of magic that says, these magicians, they say, you cannot reveal the secret. Okay? But I'm not a magician. So I'm going to show you what, shall I show you what I did? Shall I show you how I did that?
Sure.
Yes? Okay. No. No, you don't want it ruined, yeah? You don't want me to ruin it. Okay, she said no. You'll have to come up to me afterwards and ask me, okay, how I did that. Anyway, but the point of that is that I knew once my friend Michael showed me how to do that. I didn't know how to do that before, and I was just astounded. Once he showed me how to do it, I knew it. From that point on, I knew how that magic trick worked. And if there's any trick to coming to the Father, that trick is now revealed that we come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is so central to all we do. We, our entire fellowship with Jesus is about, with the Father and God is about knowing Jesus. So Philip was, Jesus' word to Philip was right. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. This is why other writers in the Bible said, Jesus, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The Word of God says, although Jesus was in very nature God, he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. And if we see Jesus, we see the unseeable. Now, some of you are going to say, yes, Dan, that's really great and everything. I have the Bible and everything, but I just wish I could see him in person. I just wish I could see him and touch him. But there is a reason. There is no description of Jesus. There's no description of Jesus, obviously, because none of the disciples thought any of his physical descriptions were important. That wasn't what Jesus was about. It wasn't, you know, you watch these little cartoons or little comic strips. Jesus, what color robe does Jesus wear in these cartoons? Always white, right? And if he has a sash on, what color is that sash? Blue. Blue or black, right? It's kind of, it's okay, that's Jesus. That's what he, okay, we don't actually need to know what color he, robe he has. We don't know if his hair is long or short, how long his beard or short. We don't need to know any of that. We don't know his height, how loud his voice was. We all we see is his character, like his love, his mercy, his security, his sacrifice, his obedience, his high calling, his sense of mission, his life of prayer, and being full of the Holy Spirit. So these are the secrets revealed, that the kingdom of God is near to everyone. Jesus speaks through the testimony of his disciples to help those who don't know his kingdom identify his kingdom. And the way to see the Father is through Jesus. Now, we can take these for granted. As the worship team comes up, I'd like to just summarize our points here. I just want us to know that not being aware of these things, not being aware that Jesus speaks through our testimony, can make us think that God can't use us. Some of you have thought that. God can't use me. I'm nobody. God speaks with authority through your testimony. Not being aware that Jesus that when we see Jesus, we see the Father, makes us think that we have to look somewhere else. We have to look somewhere else, some other workshop or some other religious system to find God. No, we need to only go as far as Jesus. Not being able to realize that the kingdom of God is near will often make you think that we are on our own. We are never on our own. If the kingdom of God is near to even those who reject him, imagine how close he is to you when you call out to his name. Father, these are just wonderful mysteries that you've given us. Jesus, thank you for being all that we need you to be. All of the revelation of God, the fullness of God's glory dwelling in bodily form. Lord, help us to examine the scriptures because your life is written in the scriptures. Help us to see you in every page, Lord Jesus, that we might know God in all his fullness that he wants to reveal to us. May they no longer be secrets to us, but may they be revelation to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.